Where would we find you on the map this morning?
We are just south of a dam, right outside of St. Cloud, near the university, on University Avenue. And we're just camping in a park, a public park called Riverside Park.
So I read, I think, that on occasion you guys have not always been tenting. You've been taken in by people along the way?
Yes. So far we've been in tents every night, except one night when we knew we were going to be hosted by the mother of a friend of ours who worked for the DNR. We slept in her basement, and she had a little cabin, very rustic cabin on the property where a few people slept in as well.
Excellent. How did that feel?
It was really nice. A few of us rinsed off in the shower, and she made homemade cookies and bread, and we used her kitchen stove to cook our quick dried meals for dinner and breakfast.
I didn't realize that you were doing quick dry meals.
Yeah, the first 14 dinners were donated by an organization called Camp Chow. And this woman in near Grand Marais makes really delicious dried dinners and breakfasts and lunches, all sorts of food. But she donated 14 dinners to us.
And they actually are delicious?
Yeah, they're really good. Well-spiced. We've got 14 distinct meals. They're all different from each other.
Let me think, though, now. You're running to the end of those.
Yeah, we were given 16 servings of each meal. And so we only use 3/4 of that. And so we have some leftover bags that for these last few nights, we're reaching, we're beyond the 2-week mark. So now we're just having a mixture of the leftover meals that we haven't eaten yet.
Getting creative. Yeah. We'll get off the meals in a minute, but that's part of what you are contributing or have contributed to the expedition is laying out all the food or, you know, the major provisions, I'm assuming, throughout the trip. So how do you do that?
It's a little tricky. For the first 2 weeks, we've been gauging the portions that I set out for breakfast and lunch, and the breakfast has gone really well. We usually have a little bit of oatmeal or granola left over that isn't eaten. And then the lunches can sometimes be a little stressful when people are really hungry and they need a lot of calories. And we've been having, we call it bread and toppings. So it's either pita or tortilla, and then peanut butter, jelly, cheese, sausage, hummus, sometimes vegetables if we have fresh vegetables. And just last night, 4 of us went into town. We hitched a ride to the grocery store to restock for the last few days. So every few days, we just keep tabs of how much, what our inventory is. And then when we have an opportunity to buy food, a few of us go into town to restock anything that we need more of.
So the that donation that took you through basically 2+ weeks, you don't have more of that sort of arrangement further downriver, huh?
Correct. And we're really spoiled with those meals. Luxurious to come into camp late in the day. And for dinner, all we have to do is boil a pot of water and add the dried contents. And it's a delicious meal in about 15 minutes. And so for the remainder of the trip, we've toyed with the idea of buying more of those meals. But some of our dinners are already sent out to food drop locations. And so I think we're going to give the first or the next 2 weeks a try of the meals that we've planned for ourselves for dinner and see how that goes because we already have some of that food purchased from Sysco.
How do you gauge that, those drop-offs, and what kind of places are they dropping off for you? Or are you in contact with Sysco along the way?
We ordered a lot of bulk foods from Sysco. We had a connection with Sysco and got a nice discount through them. And what I created was a 2-week menu, and so our trip is about 10 weeks long, and so we'll cycle through that menu 5 times. And along our route, we've estimated where we'll be every 2 weeks. We've estimated where we'll be every day, and so each 2-week mark, I looked up either a post office or if we knew someone nearby, and are sending boxes of food to those locations, and those boxes have already been shipped out before we left.
It's amazing. So you're just over 2 weeks in. How are your estimations so far? Are you pretty much on course of where you thought you would or wanted to be in terms of moving to your goal?
Yeah, we are pretty close to our scheduled itinerary. We'll be arriving in Minneapolis this Friday, and we're going to spend the full weekend there until Monday because there's several schools that want to wave to us or talk with us just outside of the city on Monday morning on a school day. So we're going to be there Saturday and Sunday, and we're all looking forward to that. And then we aren't exactly sure how much we'll be able to stick to our schedule after the cities, depending on weather. And we know that the river is going to widen quite a bit, so the wind could be a factor of either helping us or hurting us in terms of making our destination. But we estimate that we'll be in New Orleans right around Thanksgiving, if not a few days after.
You mentioned school groups, and I know that that connection with schools and students is a really strong motivator and what you're doing on this journey. So will this be the first time you're actually meeting with kids?
Yeah, this will be the first time we're meeting with students. We've met with a few students. There's a school called Rivers Edge Academy that is following us really closely, and we've been in touch. Wild River Academy, which is the partnering organization, a nonprofit that this trip is under, and Wild River Academy has worked really closely with those students, so they're excited to meet us. I believe next Monday is when that's happening.
So it takes a long time just to get through Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, we've talked several times about how huge, massive, and long this river is, but just imagine, you know, you've got a lot of states to run along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's 10 states that we'll paddle through alongside.
In our last conversation, you talked about the river still appearing wild and natural, that it was getting a little murkier. How have the basics been, water levels and the look and the feel of the river?
It's definitely widening up, and we've been hitting more dams as we reach more urban areas. And so before those dams, the river is really wide. And the water level is significantly low. We reach points where the shores are rocky, and those rocks spread out across the width of the river. And so sometimes we'll stand up in the canoes one person at a time and scout up ahead to find the best line of where the canoe should paddle through. And yesterday we paddled through Sioux Rapids, which was fun, maybe a little class one, class two set of rapids. So it was really fun to navigate. And we've also been noticing different types of residential housing along the way. So, for example, before a dam north of St. Cloud, the houses looked quite large and really manicured lawns. And then just below the dam, where there was either a paper mill or a power plant, I can't remember, there were a lot of trailer homes. And then as we moved closer to the city above the next dam, there were really nice homes just upstream of the dam. And now we're camping just downstream. So I'm curious what we'll paddle by in terms of housing this early morning when we set off.
So what kind of fish and critters have you seen?
We've caught a couple of northern pikes and eaten those. And then we've seen a couple of otters. A couple of boats have seen otters on different days. And they'll scurry up the riverbank, run through the bushes or grasses, and then scurry back down and swim across. Or sometimes we'll see them pop their heads up in the water and then go back down, and we'll see them pop their heads up somewhere else along the river.
I think you mentioned on Facebook or perhaps a video you sent me that you've done some paddling in rain.
Yeah, we had a really rainy day a few days ago and a strong headwind. And so we stayed warm every time we paddled, but whenever we would stop, we would start to get a little chilly. So when we pulled over for lunch, a few people were a little colder than others. So we all ran around to warm up, and we set up a tent and a tarp, and the rain let up as we were eating lunch. And more towards the afternoon. And we made some hot chocolate, and everyone started to get warm and put on different layers if they needed to. But so far, we've been really lucky with the weather. Beautiful sunny skies and not too much wind.
So you talked about the evolving team dynamic in that first week. How are things sort of shuffling out there?
It's going really well. Yesterday, we had our more formal weekly meeting, and we want to structure more times to check in. And we've had a lot of different ideas thrown out there about having a quote of the day in the morning and just a way to all come together. It's really hard in a group of 11. Sometimes when you're in a canoe with just one other person all day long, you can have really great conversations, but we have talked about how we feel like we're in this little micro community of just one person. And then at the end of the day, you'll see someone else in the group and say, hey, I haven't talked to you at all today. And it's unusual to feel that way because we are one small group moving from one place to another together. But sometimes you lose track of one or two of the members just within a day. Going to the grocery store yesterday for about 2 hours and then coming back, I felt like I missed the rest of the team member. So we're definitely creating a family type dynamic, which is really nice.
So each day, do you guys rotate your paddling partners?
Yeah, we switch up who is. We have one duffing position, which is the person who sits in the middle of the canoe and where there's three people in a canoe. So we rotate who gets to have a rest for a half day. We usually switch around lunch and someone else duffs for the second half of the day. But otherwise, we're always paddling with someone different each day.
So, you know, I had that wrong in an earlier. I made an assumption that was incorrect, I guess. So your videographer is a paddler, too.
Yes, she.
So tell her I apologize.
That's okay.
I didn't know she was super multitask. I thought she would sit in the middle and capture stuff along the way.
When we were choosing a videographer, we thought maybe they would paddle way less than the rest of us. But the videographer who is with us is an avid canoeist and camper. We're also all trying to help get footage. So she's not the only one who does the interviews. And although she is the main go-to person for that job.
About some of those conversations, any person or persons or comments stick out in your brain over the last week?
Yeah, two people. One person, her name was Kristen, and she was one of three women we met at a park a few days ago, and we interviewed them, and Kristen's either great aunt or great grandmother, she's not quite sure. I put this in the video. So her relative paddled down the Mississippi River many years ago by herself. And Kristen is learning more about this from her family members. And she got really excited when she met us and is going to report back to us when she learns more from her brother about that expedition. And then another person that was interviewed yesterday is an archaeologist professor. And he used to live in Baton Rouge. And he told us some historical facts about the river. And one of them that stood out was that the river, paddling the river, used to be measured in pipe smokes. So however long your pipe lasted until it was exhausted was how long you'd measure sections of the river instead of miles or kilometers.
So are you going to take on that practice so you can add it to your experience?
Yeah, we might have to try it out and
I think so.
Compare it to our mileage markers.
Have you worked out... You know, speaking of the juggling everybody's tasks, has the connecting with schools online been sorted out?
Yeah, we are all learning how to download all of the one day's worth of footage. So all the pictures and video shots so that we can clear the memory cards for the next day. And so once everyone learns how to do that, that's going to become a role of when we get into camp, someone pulls out the computer and does that. And we've been doing that pretty consistently. And I think that once we pass the Twin Cities, that will be a definite role when we show up to a campsite.
Oh, something that I've been asked more than one time, just because you and I have talked, they've said, why did this team take off this close into autumn versus in the summer?
Mm. One reason is a lot of us have summer jobs that we had already set out to do. And we left so late in the season. I don't even know why we left so late in the season.
But you're probably raising some money to pay for your food.
Yeah, we needed to raise money. The idea was generated in February. So Wild River, one big reason is Wild River Academy takes out trips during the summer, and they had trips through early September. So that was one big reason why we left in later in September. And other people who are on this trip had summer jobs already planned out, and so we had to leave in the fall. But we're chasing summer, so we should be okay in terms of weather.
Right.
And there's quite a few other people who are paddling as well, a couple other soloists, and then there's a band who we've heard about. We haven't met them yet, but we've heard about them too.
Really? Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I do have one more thing. One night, a few nights ago, we were taking pictures with our headlamps where you have a slow shutter shot for 15 seconds, and you can spell out a word with a light or draw anything if you move the light slowly. And we spelled out paddle forward, but Lee, who was the D at the very end, her headlamp just died right as we were about to take the picture. So she tried to spell the D, and when we all ran over to the camera to look at it, it said paddle for war because there was no D at the end. And we laughed really hard about that. None of us had ever thought about that. So we have a funny picture where it says paddle for war instead of forward.
So next week, we'll chat again.
Okay, thanks, Susan.